Hey, greetings, everybody. It's Brother Tupo, StonePerish.com, John 424 Radio. Hey, it has been so busy out doing street ministry. Haven't had a chance to do any teaching articles or audios for a while. Today, let's get right to a teaching audio. Can his elect be deceived? Can his elect be deceived? Yeah, we do street ministry out here, and daily we see a lot of false ways, lies, false signs and wonders being claimed. Jesus is here, Jesus is appearing there. And many people cling to these false ways that claim Christ. Yeah, Word of Faith, NAR, Evangelical, all types of faith. So it makes me start thinking about those that claim to be of God. They claim to be the elect of God, but they believe a bunch of false ways and they're deceived by a bunch of false doctrine. Can the elect, God's true people, really be deceived? Well, I'm going to give you some good news right up front. The answer is no. But it's not an easy answer, and it's not all up to God alone. We have an active part in this covenant to play. I'm going to show you that. As the elect of God, we must prove we're the elect over time. Remember this. Only God, we're going to get to who the elect is. Only God knows who the elect are. Only God. We can think someone's the elect, but they have to strive and endure and have much fruit and finish their race. Only God knows who the elect are. And so remember that premise as we go through this. And as I'm sitting here, I just sat down on a bench and I'm like, wow, where is all those smells coming from? Awesome smells. There's a giant flower garden right behind me and I'm sniffing it and it is fantastic. God gives us lots of things to look at out here. His creation, critters. As we're flying the gospel, we just got off the street from flying gospel signs, getting ready to do a street preach this weekend at a big 4th of July event. So the answer is no, the elect cannot be deceived. Let's go to scripture. Matthew 24, 22 through 24 says, "And except those days should be shortened, there should be no flesh saved, but for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened." So God's going to shorten the time of the great tribulation. Otherwise, no human would survive, basically. And that word elect, eklektos, it means favorite, select, chosen. All right, now, Calvinists will tell you, yeah, God chose only certain people. No, that's a lie, because that makes Jesus a liar. Because in John 3, Jesus said, whosoever can come and believe in him. No. As I told you in the beginning of this teaching audio, the elect are the ones that God knows will be his people in the end of days, in eternity. He knows the future, he alone. Who will come to him by the gospel, through faith and repentance, by the shed blood of Jesus, and be born from above, and endure in holiness, and endure to the end. Those are the elect, that person, those people that finish their race in the holy faith. God says, that's my elect, I've seen them in the future. You don't know who it is. I don't know who it is. Don't be telling nobody they are the elect today. Tell them they have the hope of salvation and they have the fruit of being the elect. Now finish and run the race, lest you be a reprobate, as Apostle Paul once said. So remember that. God knows who his elect are. And the elect are the born again, born from above sheep who have chosen by their free will to follow Christ. They've repented out of the world, out of their false ways and flesh, out of false religion. They're called by his spirit, and they're proved out by their fruit, their holiness, and their endurance. Yeah, we have to prove that we are the elect. You don't just get to name it and claim it. That's what Jesus called lip service Christianity. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. And God, in his great mercy, as we just read about, will shorten the time of the great tribulation or nobody's going to survive. So we know that God wants none to perish. So he's going to give everyone a chance. 2 Peter 3:9, God wants no one to perish. So God's going to give everyone a chance, but he's going to shorten the days for the elect. Let's keep going in Matthew 24, verse 23. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. All right, this is a really important verse for me, because all the time in the streets we see these people mostly Word of Faith, heretics, some strange cult groups, even some evangelicals nowadays, sometimes Hebrew roots. It's spreading all over. But they're claiming, like, Jesus is appearing in their building. Jesus appeared to them in their car. Jesus is appearing at their gathering. He's here. He's there. We feel him. We see him. We hear him. He's talking to us. This is a lie. Jesus says they're going to lie to you and say he's all over, but he's not. Jesus later says in Matthew 24, he's coming at the end of the tribulation. He's going to part the clouds. That's when you're going to see him, not before. And so be careful. All these lies are flying around, but the elect cling to what? The truth of the word, not man's words or experiences, not church ways, not emotions, not emotional experiences, not traditions of men and church systems. We live by every word out of the mouth of God, Matthew 4:4, not man-made false traditions and false doctrine. That shows you're the elect because you're clinging to the master's words. Let's keep going in Matthew 24, verse 24. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. I love that. I like what our master says here, that these false men, these deceivers, these liars, these antichrist types, false prophets, their signs and wonders will be so deceptive and convincing, and the Bible talks about fire coming down from heaven, that it could deceive even the elect of God. And then he says, if it were possible. What Christ is saying is that the deception is going to be so strong and so powerful and so convincing that even the elect, if it was possible, will be swept away. Because we wouldn't have strength in our own ways to stand against all of it. But guess what? We have a great hope. The elect are not alone. We're in a covenant with God, a blood covenant. We're working for the one that made the way for us, and God is working in us. Go read Philippians 1:6. He who began a good work in you is going to complete it. You got to do your part. Of course, you can't walk away, but he's going to complete his part, calling you, equipping you, calling you to repentance, giving you faith, giving you hope, giving you truth, giving you the Spirit, giving you forgiveness and cleansing. So that deception will not come upon the elect because God won't allow it to. And that's a glorious promise. The elect cannot be deceived if they're acting and living like an elect. And we're going to go over some points about that. So it's not possible for the elect to be deceived because God is working in us and the elect have the fruit to not follow false teachers and false doctrine. And the elect endure and finish their race. Before I get to the points we want to talk about what makes you the elect, and we're going to go over 7 points, I got to thinking today. Sister Amen witnessed to a Jehovah Witness lady in a store, and this lady was set on her cult ways. They don't even believe Jesus is God. She had no interest in testing anything. None. She's not the elect. She's not looking, seeking, testing. And I know of a young man who seemed to have prothumia, was listening to the Word of God, but oftentimes they pull back and say, I got to go figure this out on my own. I got to go. And usually they get influenced by family, friends, false teachers. And they go back to their bad theology they had back in their flashback in their easy believe worldly Christianity. And so that shows that they're not of the elect if they go back into that theology. So people have to willingly decide to listen and follow and cling to false ways and man-made theology because it pleases them versus what? Clinging to Christ and the Word and the Spirit in the truth. If they are truly the elect of God, they're not going to follow false teachers for very long. They're going to test. The Spirit's going to guide them. We'll get to verses on that. They're going to repent. They're going to come out. God doesn't leave his lost sheep lost in sin and error and false ways, does he? He would be an incompetent God with a faulty word, a faulty Savior, and a faulty Spirit. He's not incompetent, and we have a mighty Savior, a mighty Word, and a mighty Spirit. The fault is on us if we stay in false teaching. It's fruit that we're perhaps not even the elect to begin with. Ponder that. 2 Corinthians 6:17 and 18. Wherefore, Brother Paul says, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So, we're to come out of every false way. come out of the culture. Touch not the unclean thing. Paul says, lay hands on no man quickly. Be not a partaker of other men's sins, and God will receive us. That's the fruit that you are one of the elect. Jesus talked about striving in Luke 13. We have to remain as one of the faithful elect. Why? Well, we're supposed to example all the men before us, right? And women. There were great women of God too. But all of these people, Jesus, Paul, Peter, John, the prophets, the disciples, all the great women of the Bible, John the Baptist, what did they do? They all strived and they all finished their race that we know of. We can't tell who's in heaven, who's isn't. That's God's job. But they all finished their race according to the scriptures. Why would we not strive and endure and finish our race? 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your soul. Notice that comes at the end of your faith, not at the beginning, not in the middle. Paul says nobody gets a trophy at the beginning or the middle of a race. You get the trophy, you get the reward at the end. So let's get to this. 7 points. I could have come up with a whole bunch of more, but 7 is a godlike number. Let's get to 7 points about what shows we are his elect and why we cannot and how we cannot be deceived. Then we can test ourselves. You test yourself, I'll test me, my house, the saints I know. And we'll see if we have the fruit of being his elect and know that we're on the path to what? Be deception proof in these last days. Yeah, we can walk in a deception proof way. I'm going to show you how in 7 steps. Ready? Let's go. Number 1, the elect sheep follow Jesus' voice. John 10, 25 through 27. Jesus answered them and said, I told you, ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not because you are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. So he's rebuking the Pharisees because they are not hearing. They're not of his sheep. Verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. All right. The sheep of God follow Christ, our master, our high shepherd, our great shepherd. They don't follow false teaching, false doctrine, the world, the flesh. I've seen strangers, this is interesting, talking about sheep. I've seen strangers walk up to a fence and try to call a herd of sheep, and the sheep look up and put their heads down. And 4 or 5 people tried calling the same words, and the sheep didn't come. The shepherd, who they know his voice, comes to the fence, and he calls out to give them grain, and they turn and ran like super fast to go and get the grain. They heard their shepherd's voice. They know it. They follow it. All right. We, if we're Christ's elect, we don't follow religion of man, false traditions, false theology, our flesh, the world, the culture. We follow his word, Genesis to Revelation, and test all things against it. So we are his people and we are daily following him versus the man-made systems and the culture and the denominations. I'm a Baptist, I'm an Anabaptist, I'm a Mennonite, I'm a Roman Catholic, I'm a Lutheran. You're not following Christ at all then. You're following for false religion that's going to lead you to judgment and destruction. We're going to see the Holy Spirit won't lead you in lies and deception. He won't leave you there. So if you follow Jesus and his word, you're one of the elect. You could be one of the elect. You have the hope of being the elect, and you will not be deceived. That's one of the signs. Number 2, the elect have the Spirit to guide and teach them all truth. Jesus said in John 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. So I love this verse, one of my favorite sections of scripture. The Holy Spirit, he's also called the Spirit of Truth. Hardly anybody recognizes that name of him. He convicts and he comforts. If you're led of this Spirit of God, you're not going to live in lies, false religion, false ways, to be led away, to be deceived by people that sound good, look good, act good, talk good, got thousands of followers. No. You're going to be listening to the Spirit, following the voice of Christ, which is the Word of God. The Spirit convicts and teaches and comforts, teaches you all truth. Let me ask you a question. You just read it. He's going to teach you all truth. If you know all truth, can you be deceived? Of course not. Absolutely not can you be deceived if you know all truth and you're testing for it. So if you're led of the Spirit, Well, before I say that, let me say this. I just witnessed to a Mennonite man who says he's comfortable in his Mennonite faith. 30 years ago, they helped him out of drugs, and he's got an allegiance to them because of that. And I told him, getting sober is a good thing, but there's going to be a lot of sober people in hell. The Pharisees, if they didn't repent, were in hell, and they weren't drunks. They were just rebellious, hypocritical men in false doctrine. His allegiance needs to be to Jesus Christ and walking in the truth, not a man-made tradition like the Mennonites. I told him that. So if we're led by the Spirit, we have the great hope. We will not be deceived as the elect. Isn't that awesome? Number three, the elect test all things. Acts 17 and 1 Thess 5. Those who have the readiness of mind, prothumia, that would be the elect, to test all things to Holy Scripture. Makes sense, doesn't it? You don't just follow things for the sake of following it. Well, if you're following your flesh, you do, the flesh, but you follow things that are of God's word and true. Acts 17:11. Those were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with a readiness of mind, prothumia, and they searched the scriptures daily whether these things were so. Interesting. So you search the scriptures to see if things are true, and that's going to keep you from being deceived, and it proves that you're one of the elect. We see people all the time out in the streets and in emails and phone calls who do not test their own handed down traditions, Baptist, Catholic, Mennonite, whatever, to the word, and thus they're living lies, holding to it. It's leading to great deception, and they won't turn from it. They won't test. If you won't test for truth, you're going to be deceived. If you test for a truth in all things like the Bereans did, it's impossible to be deceived because you got the Son, you got the Spirit, you got the Word. We're going to keep going. What a great report we're getting. Great hope. If you believe you're one of the elect, it's a great hope for you that you will not be deceived. Number four, the Father doesn't lead his elect children into deception. God's saints seek and ask the Father for truth and protection from lies, right? You don't want to be deceived. You go to God and say, don't let me deceive. You want truth. You say, Father, show me your truth via the Spirit, the Son. You cry out in Christ's name. Protect me from all lies. Protect me from every false way, like David says. Luke 11, 9 through 13. And I say unto you and ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find, Jesus said. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any that is of a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? Or if he ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then being evil know how to do good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Yeah, we're all fallen people, right? We've all done evil. We've all sinned. And we still, most all of us, would not do that to our children, right? Give them something wicked when they ask for something good. Why don't we trust God to give us good things, right? So you won't be deceived if you go to the Father and you ask for truth and seek it out. In this full-time van life ministry that we have out here in the streets every day, we daily talk to people who claim the Father, they claim they're born again, they claim religion, they claim a faith, but they're not seeking and asking for all truth. And what they're doing is, by what I can see, is they're handling their faith life and they've got stones and serpents and scorpions. They got the wrong thing. Somebody's given them the wrong thing. They haven't been given good things from the Father that we just read about, that Jesus talked about. They got false ways, sin, bad doctrine that cannot save you. Did the Father give them that? Absolutely not. They're false traditions. Their man-made religion, their own flesh, their own rebellion has led to that. So God takes good care of his elect, his children, and if you seek him and ask, like the Lord's Prayer, you will not be deceived. He desires that you have all truth. What great promises we're getting here. Number five, the elect bear fruit of the good vine. Holiness, out of the world, sound doctrine, things like that. John 15:5. I am the vine, ye are the branches, Jesus said. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. So abideth and remaining. You know, abide, remain, we're in the Word, we're in Christ. It's not a one-time thing, it's a daily, all-the-time thing. And God's elect bear much fruit. It actually says much fruit, not a little bit, not one apple, much fruit. This is doctrine and holiness. Why? Why are they bearing it? Because Brother Tupos is so good? No, because we're connected to this awesome vine that's perfect and holy and good and righteous and just and true. And what's a branch from that vine going to produce? Worldliness? Compromise? False doctrine? No. The branch of a good vine reflects the vine, and it bears the godly fruit of it. Not sin, not false doctrine. If a branch is well connected to its grapevine, it's not going to produce thistles. Even if the thistle plant is right next to it, it's not going to do it. It's impossible. It's not in God's order. It has to disconnect from the true vine and go connect to that corrupt vine, become united to it, like people do with false religion and false beliefs. The elect are of the branch of Christ, or the vine of Christ, I should say. We are the branch, Christ is the vine. And so we can't be deceived and produce a bunch of false ways if we're connected to the good vine, abiding, walking in him, and striving. We in ministry have seen thousands, many, many over the years, thousands that claim Jesus, claim that they're of him. They go to church or they just live in the culture, and they bear rotten fruit, not of this glorious vine. How can this be? Is Jesus weak? Is the Spirit weak? Is the Word weak? Is the Father deceiving them? No, of course not. Only two opportunities, only two possibilities, I should say. They're either not his elect at all, false converts, goats, or they may be brand new novices, maybe living in some deception, but guess what? All of these things I'm talking about, they're going to apply by the Spirit, and they're going to repent, and they're going to come out of those false ways to the glory of God because they're the elect, like we had to do, like saints we know had to do. The cost is great. You'll lose family, friends, reputation, careers, your pride, your vanity. You're going to lose everything. But they'll come out of that for the glory of God if they really are his elect. So if you're judging, testing, looking for false ways, deception's not going to get a foothold in your life. And you root out all the lies like you would root out a weed, and then the elect cannot be deceived. So good fruit from this awesome vine is proof and help that you will not be deceived. Number six, the elect walk in sound doctrine that saves them. 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto thy doctrine, continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt save both thyself and them that hear thee. Sound doctrine, instruction. Doctrine means instruction. Sound means it's true. I like to think of this. Sound doctrine, the instruction in God's word, it's a fence, like a metal fence, a woven fence, wooden fence. For the elect. Why? It keeps false teachers out, wolves out. Yeah, fences keep wolves out, right? And it keeps the sheep in the pen of the master. So we're kept in sound doctrine. The wolves are kept outside of our sound doctrine. That's what sound doctrine does. Paul says it saves you, not because you're working your way to heaven, but it's the fruit that you're of Christ because you're walking in the truth and you're born of him. That's why we have that fruit. Those who claim Jesus that we see daily in the streets, met some today, but don't walk in sound doctrine, they're either lying about who they say they follow and who they're born of, like they're saying they're the elect, or again, they may be so brand new and a novice, they need to study more and go test, and in time, the Father and the Spirit and the Word and the Son will bring them out. It's only two possibilities. Most times, it's their false converts, because most everybody I meet, pretty much, when they speak up for their faith, they're not brand new to the faith. They're in the faith years, and they're defending their false religion. So by walking in sound doctrine and truth, you will not be led into deception or be deceived. Wow. One more. Number seven. The true elect are enduring in their faith to the end, or Christ's return. End of their life or Christ's return. Matthew 10:22. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake, but he that endureth to the end shall be saved. I want to throw another verse in here. I use this on a man that was defending once saved, always saved. Colossians 1:22-23. In the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight, if ye continue in the faith grounded and settled and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, and made a minister. Yeah, did you hear that? If. I got a whole article on the if verses. Go to the teaching blog, look up Once Saved, Always Saved. I have a whole bunch of articles that refute Once Saved, Always Saved, Calvinism, eternal security. But let me encourage you. If we're really thinking we're the elect, we're going to be doing exactly what these points I'm talking about. And the seventh point is enduring every day, every week, every month, every year in this saving faith till our death or till Christ comes back. And if we really are the elect and we do these things and we're walking in them daily and we're testing and we're trusting in the Son and the Spirit and we're asking the Father, deception can have no place to land, take root and grow up and carry us away and deceive us. It is absolutely impossible that a true elect, using all the tools, the giftings, and everything God's called us to in the Word, could ever be deceived. The Father's too good. The Son is too great. The Word is too strong. The Spirit is too willing to always guide and teach and comfort and convict. And here's the great thing. Another great point as we close out here. With the end times coming, there's going to be a lot more deception. Matthew 24, we're talking about the end times. The elect know the truth, right? I meet men all the time. They've been a Christian for 30 years. They know hardly any truth. How can this be? The elect are scouring the scriptures. The elect are living by every word out of the mouth of God. So these are proof that they're not elect at all. They're deceiving themselves. But the true elect are going to know his word so well. They're going to see the false signs. They're going to see the false teachers. They're going to know the deceptive heresy. They're going to see the Antichrist and the false prophet and all that rise up. And guess what? They're going to reject it and serve God's kingdom, even if it comes to cutting your head off. That's what the elect are going to do. The elect aren't going to compromise. They're not going to waver. They're not going to please men. They're not going to please their flesh. They're not going to please themselves. They're not going to please their family. They're not going to please their fellowship and their body. The elect are going to stand up and say, I'm for Christ. Cut my head off. I'm for Christ. Now, a couple more last verses for you, and I'll finish out here. Paul spoke of the elect here, 2 Timothy 4, 1 through 5. 1 through 2 first. I charge thee therefore before God and Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing, at his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. Catch that? Yeah, we're reproving, we're rebuking, we're exhorting with all long suffering and doctrine. If you don't care about doctrine, you're not one of the elect. If you're not walking in truth, you're not one of the elect. And then Paul speaks about those that are not the elect. So that's what the elect do. Here's what the elect are not. 1 Timothy 3, 3 through 5. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts, they shall heap up themselves teachers, modern pastors, having itchy ears, and they shall turn their ears away from the truth. They don't listen to it much in the streets when we preach. Some do, but very few. And shall be turned unto fables. Easy believe gospels, Christmas, Easter, Good Friday, worldliness, pride and vanity, a feminized Jesus, feminization, materialism, pride in your dress, politics, sports, entertainment, following fables. But watch thou, he goes back to the, now here he goes back to the elect. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. So right there, Paul goes in and out of who's an elect and who's not the elect. The elect are going to be separated out from the wrath of God. We will suffer the wrath of Satan in the tribulation. There is no pre-trib rapture, but we're going to suffer the wrath of Satan. And Christ is going to come back and gather his elect, Matthew 24. At the end of the tribulation, Jesus tells us that. There is no pre-trib rapture. But the wrath is going to be upon those that are not the elect of God. 2 Thessalonians 1 says he's coming in flaming fire to destroy all those that don't know God. They're not the elect, and they don't obey the gospel. The elect know God and obey. See the obedience there? So I hope this teaching, hope the noise in the traffic here wasn't too bad. I hope this teaching shows you that you can be set and assured that you will not be deceived. And ready? I'm going to say this. And you will not be lost if you're one of the elect. If you have the fruit of the elect, you're clinging to your vine, you're bearing much fruit, You're in Christ via the gospel, his death, burial, resurrection, and shed blood, and repentance to him, and new life, and holiness and obedience, and enduring in the faith. That's the gospel to eternal life. You have fruit of him. You're striving in truth. You're striving in holiness. You're cleansing yourself when you do fall into sin and repenting. You're not living in willful sin, practicing false ways. And you're born of him, and you endure to the end. And you're following his voice and his doctrine. You are not going to be deceived. Isn't that glorious news? So I hope this encourages you today. If you're striving and thinking you're one of the elect, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Oh, yeah. And you know why? Last thought. The fear and trembling is because we can fail. We can fall into sin. We can turn away. It's not because Christ is going to fail us. It's not the Father's going to let us down. It's not the Word's going to go false or the Spirit's going to fade or the Son's not going to intercede. No, we are the weak link between God, the Son, the Word, the Spirit, and us. We're the weak link. We can fail. We work out our salvation with fear and trembling. Peter said, if the righteous are scarcely saved, what will become of the sinner? We are the weak link, so we strive, and we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. But if you're striving, and you have the characteristics, and you're identified as one of the elect, every day, every week, every month, every year, if you are striving to be an elect and have the fruits and characteristics of the elect and his people, you have the hope of eternal life, and you will be that elect that Christ is coming back for. Go read Matthew 24, the whole chapter. It'll encourage you. So my encouragement is, all of you saints, strive on. You be the elect of God. You be the ecclesia of God. He's coming back for us one day, and his elect cannot be deceived. Hey, I love you all. I enjoyed doing that. I hope you enjoyed that. Go back and read all those scriptures. Test everything I say to the Holy Word of God. I have no truth. I just have what God shows me. And then I apply it to what I'm doing in the streets. And then I teach people and share what's going on in the streets as Sister Amin and I are out here. And we disciple people online. We meet people. The elect will not be deceived. The big thing is, are you really an elect? Do you have the fruit of it? And are you ready to endure to the end? We're here to help you do that. Let us know how we can help you. Check out our edification audio. It goes up every day, a new one. And we put new videos up. We just posted a bunch of witnessing. This teaching will be up, and I'm still working on, always working on verse-by-verse teachings. You can go back and get caught up. Thousands of resources at don'tperish.com. Why? Not because we're so great, but because, you know what? The Spirit's called us. The Word is in us. The Savior is mighty. The Father is so worthy, and we've been enduring in this for many years, and we hope that people look at us and say, hey, they got the fruit of enduring. Hey, maybe they are the elect. I want to be the elect. I know Sister Amin does too. We hope that's your goal. We love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day. May God be praised.